Now as Ichnon continued upon his quest, he found himself by the shores of a great salt sea. Ichnon had been sojourning for many days since quitting the mountain terminus, and had not seen even a trace of human habitation. Indeed, he did wax weary from loneliness. The desolation of the surround did nothing to uplift his spirit, for the aft was gray, cloudy, and the very wind smelt of storm. Sitting himself down upon a nearby rock, Ichnon contemplated his situation and wondered as to his course of action. For he saw that he had come to the ending of a long and narrow spit of land. And although no mean swimmer he, there seemed to be no choice but to retrace his steps. But then as he rested, he espied tacking briskly toward the beach a trim craft, sleek in lines, albeit a trifle weather-worn, with full-bellied violet sails. Just as he thought disaster imminent from her speed and direction, the vessel heeled herself about smartly, dropping anchor, furling sail, and a mighty shout fell upon the ears of Ichnon, thus, "Ho, stranger, stay, for fain would I speak with thee." And presently a small boat grounded itself near the rock upon which Ichnon sat. Within this shell, a most extraordinary man, larger even than Ichnon, with wildly streaming ebon hair, restrained from his eyes by a simple knot of a brightly colored cloth. Seamed, eroded his face, but within the eyes lurked a gleam, almost bordering on the maniacal. His mighty body bore proudly the scars of many battles with the sea, with man, and there, that horrible wound could only have been caused by the dread Kraken. Forsooth, here was a man indeed. And in a voice as commanding as his appearance, this one greeted Ichnon, saying, "What ho, stranger? Thou seemest a doughty wight, and a bit at loose ends, if mine eyes and the witness of Ichthys trident be any judge. How be ye called?" And Ichnon answered, thus, "I be Ichnon, O man from the sea. Hence have I come from a far and distant land, seeking truth, meaning of existence. And indeed thou art correct in what thou sayest. I be indeed at loose ends, for there appeareth to be no land beyond this point of the earth." And the mariner replied, "Well then, young Ichnon, wouldst become my companion aboard mine craft, Spray Skimmer, and ply the seas. Mayhap I can show thee those answers which thou dost seek, for there are indeed lands beyond this, and sights past imagining. Long have I sailed, and indeed I know the meaning for existence." And Ichnon, filled with hope, cried, "Oh, yes, I shall accompany thee, for truly the quest goeth most hard and slow, and I should be glad to find these answers which thou hast. And how shall I call thee, O most marvelous of captains?" With this, the face of the seaman became clouded, but momentarily, as he whispered, "I be called Idondares." But then, open again, he clapped Ichnon upon the shoulder and shouted, "To the boat with thee, then, young salt, and see that thou doest thy fair share, for this be one of the truths that ye must learn, that he who would ride must not do so solely at the expense of others." And with that, the two returned to the main vessel, Spray Skimmer, and embarked upon their journey. And Ichnon, for the first time in many days, felt a joyous anticipation, for he sensed that he might be nearing the objective of his quest.